This is some commentary of, I think this is William MacDonald, what he says about this verse. He would not break a bruised reed or quench a smoking flax. He would not trample on the dispossessed or underprivileged in order to reach his goals. He would encourage and strengthen the broken-hearted, oppressed person. He would fan even a spark of faith into a flame. Another commentator, this is Alva MacLean. This king who is God's servant will not reach his faithful place of eminence by any of the usual means of carnal force or political demagoguery, nor yet by means of the supernatural forces at his command. You see, Jesus had all the power of heaven at his command. I remember when he was being crucified, he said, don't you think I have power to call 12 legions of angels to deliver me? He didn't. He could have, but he didn't. Thank God he didn't. Till he sends forth justice to victory. Isaiah earlier had been bemoaning the fact that there was no justice, truth or equity in his own nation. And so here's this one will come and he will bring justice to victory. Oh, justice, this is Isaiah 59. Justice is turned back and righteousness stands afar off, for truth is fallen in the street and equity cannot enter. Isaiah is saying that was the case then, but the Messiah will solve that. He will bring justice to victory. And in his name, Gentiles will trust. Oh, you know, that the mystery of the church was kept secret in the Old Testament, wasn't it? But there are clues there. There are little bits that tell us. Obviously the Jews didn't understand then. We understand now. And I can't help wondering if this isn't a veiled reference to the church. In his name, Gentiles will trust. That's us and many others. The mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations but now has been revealed to his saints. Yes, now we know. We understand it. They didn't then. We do now. Now it goes, the Pharisees go even further. They blaspheme the Holy Spirit. Then one was brought to him who was demon-possessed, blind and mute. And he healed him so that the blind and mute man both spoke and saw. And all the multitudes were amazed and said, could this be the son of David? Even the multitudes beginning to wonder, is this the Messiah? Now, the Pharisees are getting really upset about this. Now even the people are starting to question. Now, maybe this is the Messiah because of the miraculous things they were doing. Now, when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. What a terrible thing to say. They couldn't deny that miracle. It was in front of everyone. They all seen it. They say, oh yes, he's done it, but by what power does it? The power of Satan himself. They were claiming that Jesus was acting by the same power that will empower the Antichrist in a future time. Now, if the Jews had understood the prophecy of Daniel, they would have known that their Messiah was due. But they didn't understand it. We're not going to go into this now, but there's the incredible prophecy of Daniel 9, the 70-week prophecy. It's an amazing prophecy. I've spent a lot of time studying it. They would have known that the Messiah was due. They didn't understand it. And the religious authorities actually told them in those days, don't study Daniel, it's too hard for you. Let us interpret it. And then Jesus went on to say, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. Every city or house divided against itself will not stand. In other words, if Satan casts out Satan, he destroys Satan. Now my words in there, or church, you know, am I out of place in saying that even a church divided against itself won't stand? It is important, isn't it, that we have unity amongst ourselves. Very important to maintain and teach the truth. Therefore I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven men. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come. Now this age, of course, was the age of law. The church age hadn't begun at that point. The age to come was the age of the church age. To blaspheme the Holy Spirit, to blaspheme the power that Jesus was using to do these things is to equate Jesus with the false Messiah, the Antichrist, who is of course the incarnation of Satan. Now rejecting the gospel is not the unpardonable sin, because a person can still repent and be forgiven. But to saying that the power of God is the power of Satan is, Jesus said, unforgivable. Then some of the scribes and Pharisees, looking for an excuse, answered saying, "Teacher, we want to see a sign from you." Are they blind? Are they worse than the state of the man Jesus has just healed? "We want to see a sign. For goodness sake, what have you just seen?" They asked for a sign. But he answered and said to them, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to you except the sign of the prophet Jonah." He said they'd have one clear sign given to them, the sign of the prophet Jonah. Now there are several possible ways in which that could be a sign. First of all, Jonah's death and resurrection. Now some people say that Jonah died and was resurrected. Now that is not impossible, because in the Old Testament some were resurrected, brought back to physical life, not back to resurrection life, but they were brought back to life. I have always assumed, no, he didn't. He survived somehow with the air that was inside that gigantic creature, and he did survive, because we know he prayed inside it. But it was a symbolic death, certainly, and a symbolic resurrection when he was vomited up on the beach 3 days later. There is another way, and I think this is the way that Jesus meant, because he said specifically, he said 3 days and three nights. This is to be the sign. "For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." Now this is the only place where there is specific instruction as to the timing of Jesus' death and resurrection. Jesus was not crucified on Friday. It was Thursday. It was Thursday, late on Thursday. It's the only possible way. There can be 3 days and three nights. If you go through the final week of Jesus, and we're not going to today, of course, you can work out every day, and it's clear that Jesus was crucified late actually at 9 o'clock on Thursday morning. He died at 3 o'clock on Thursday afternoon. He was buried shortly after, probably 1 or 2 hours it took to arrange that. And so he saw part of he was in the grave for part of Thursday, the day. For the night of Friday, the night comes first, remember, in the Jewish calendar. The night of Friday, the day of Friday, the night of Saturday, the day of Saturday, and part of the night of Sunday. And before dawn, he rose again. The Friday was not the Sabbath. The Friday was a special high Sabbath. John's Gospel makes that clear. So he was 3 days and three nights. And if they understood that, then they would see that Jesus followed that example too, not that he did it, it's just that that's what God said was going to happen, that he would be 3 days and three nights. Now there is another possibility, and it is that Nineveh listened and repented. And he went on to say that they listened to the message of Jonah, and they turned to God and repented, and God didn't bring judgment upon them, which upset Jonah actually, didn't it? Because he wanted the Assyrians destroyed, because they were the enemies of Israel. Now he continued to use examples from the Old Testament to show that in the past many have responded to God and his word. Now they are rejecting God himself, the promised Messiah is bringing to them. In fact, he said, "The men of Nineveh will rise up in judgment with this generation and condemn it." They will judge the Pharisees. Nineveh repented when they heard God's word, and God saved them from judgment. They were hearing God's word directly now from Messiah, but they were rejecting it. The Pharisees were.